Thanks to everyone who worked with me this morning, the services, brother. We appreciate you so very much for serving in the capacity you've served this morning. To those who are visiting with us, we want you to know you are very honored and distinguished guest of the audience if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. If you visit from other congregations, you too are welcome to be with us, and we pray you would enjoy the services. You have enjoyed the services thus far, and you will continue to enjoy the remainder as we study from the Word of God. If you're on the call today and not a member of the Church of Christ, understand that you must believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right, for we do that. And we believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. And we wasn't there. We believe that because of this book called the Bible. We believe that he shed his blood, that according to this book, would wash your sins away in baptism. That one must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. And we also believe that according to this book, there is but one church that we can read about in the Bible, and that church is referred to as the Church of Christ. And that's what we would teach, and that's what we believe. We will not deviate from the Scripture for what it teaches. We believe that 100%. And if you believe it, then you too will become a member of the Church of Christ. You'll be baptized, and you won't argue with the Scripture, but if one don't believe the Bible, then we will be problem, no help to you, because we believe that it's right. And until you believe that the Bible is right, you will never be saved. Now, this morning, in Acts chapter 16, we continue our study of the book of Acts, titled this message, A Man of Macedonia. A Man of Macedonia. And before I get into that, let me just go ahead and give you my Easter sermon. It's going to be real brief. First of all, Easter in the Bible, you find it in one place. That's Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. However, that verse there is referring to the days of the unleavened bread, which was a whole week that the Jews remember the Passover week. That's found in Exodus chapter 12, verse 15 through 16. It had nothing to do with what we see today, a Sunday to remember Jesus' resurrection. That is totally a false doctrine, predominantly taught by the Catholics. It's wrong. It's false. And if you just use common sense, God would never use a rabbit laying chicken, colored chicken eggs to remember his son. People just ought to use some common sense sometime. If we just use common sense, you would know that did not come from God. Now, if you want to eat chicken eggs and color them, you can do that. Don't have nothing to do with Jesus' resurrection. If you want to remember Jesus' resurrection, you do it by taking communion. As we've done this morning, you'll do that not for a whole week. You do it on the first day of the week, which is every Sunday. And that's exactly what we do in the Churches of Christ, Acts 20. And in verse 7 is the example we follow. The Christians broke bread on the first day of the week. Jesus said, this you do. And remember some of me, Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23, and the following verses. The Lord commanded us that we take the Lord's Supper, not on the first Sunday of the month, but every Sunday. The apostles and those Christians in the Bible took the Lord's Supper. So this thing called Easter and Good Friday and all that came from man. Actually, it's a festival of a goddess that this all comes from with the chicken egg. You can Google it. You can Google it. Just go ahead and go to Wikipedia and it'll tell you all that stuff. I don't have time for that. But you can go and look it up yourself. We Google everything we want to Google. Google that one. Then you'll learn about it. Now let's study from the Bible so we can learn about it. It's going to help us save our soul. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says there, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. The Apostle Paul here entered Derbe and Lystra to find a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy, we will know, you know, there are two letters wrote to him by Paul, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy's mother was Jewish and his father was Greek. Timothy was real well reported of. Now, here's proof that young people can live in a way that will give a good report. Not all of our young men will be drug users and crack addicts and in the streets wearing their pants off down, showing their boxers. Not all of them going to do that. There's going to be some good young men out there who's going to fear God. There's going to be some Timothys and you may know some Timothys. I would like to be thought of as Timothy when I obeyed the gospel at the age of 24 and changed my entire life. So I know young people can make change and do good, and you can live a life that will represent one who believes in God and one who lives the life of a Christian. No doubt some young man or some young lady is here today on the call, and you have a good report. And I encourage you to continue to look at your report card as a young person and see what kind of report is being read. Having a good report starts with parents and grandparents, whom I'm going to talk to this morning, some as well. Timothy was raised by his mother and his grandmother. Timothy, the Bible says, was taught the scriptures from a childhood, 2 Timothy 3, and in verse number 15, where Paul said that from a child has known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So he was taught by his grandmother and his mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, Paul says there, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in grandmother, thy grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, and persuaded, Paul said, because of his mama and his grandmother, he was persuaded there was in it was in Timothy as well. Timothy is a third generation believer. Thank God for praying parents like Lois and grandparents like Lois and Eunice. An example they are to all parents, especially mothers and grandmothers. Greatest thing a parent can do is to share your faith in word, actions, and deeds. I would ask all those on the call today who are parents or grandmothers or grandparents and mothers, just particularly mothers and grandmothers, what will your children and grandchildren have to say about your faith, about what you believe and how you believe it, and where did it come from? Did it come from the Bible? Did your faith come from somewhere other than the scripture? Do you teach your children that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right? Do you teach them that the Bible has all the truth in it, you don't have nothing else to add to it or take from it? Or do you just give them what you believe? You tell them things like, it don't matter where you go to church. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you believe in your heart, as long as you're a good person. You tell them that kind of stuff. Well, you're not teaching them any faith. You're giving them what you believe. They don't come from the Bible. In Romans 10:17, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sisters, I challenge you. I challenge the Lois and the Eunices on this phone. Grandmothers and mothers, understand this. Even if your husband or your any other man in your life, don't raise your children. If you're a single mama on this phone, you can raise little boys to become preachers and elders based on your faith. I just ask all of us, as parents, as a father, I would ask my children, as a father, I would want my children to know my faith. And I'm confident that I have shared my faith explicitly with my children. They know what I believe, and they know why I believe it. And I ask every parent on this phone, have you shared with your own children a faith that will save their precious souls? Have you told them about the one church, the Church of Christ? Have you told them they need to be baptized for the remission of their sins? Have you told them that they should be in worship, taking communion every Sunday? Do you even believe that? Have you told your children? Have you told your grandchildren that they need to be saved? Have you reached out to your family? This is something all of us need to be thinking about. Somebody may say, Brother Brooks, my mama wasn't there. She hasn't taught me anything. My daddy didn't teach me. Maybe you're on the call and you're one of those kind of children. Since they didn't share, you do it. You start now believing for yourself and make sure that you share with your children and your grandchildren, and because that's what Eunice and Lois did. It doesn't say anything about his father sharing that with him. It was these women who did that. So I'm encouraging all of us. I want my grandchildren to know. I want my children to know what I believe and why. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to save souls. Maybe there's someone here on the call today. You got your head down about your mama or daddy, and that's okay. You need to get your head up, though. See, when you see God, then you work on your report card. Make sure you got a good report. And make sure all of us on this call can understand that our report card is being read by our family, our children. Shame on us. Shame on us that we don't reach out to our children and our grandchildren and teach them what thus said the Lord. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we got to ask God to help us. And this is what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Maybe you're on the call this morning, not by accident, but because you need help. And you've been seeking for help. There was a man in Macedonia who needed help. We'll get to that here in a minute. And God can speak to you through this word that I'm teaching this morning. Let's go back to Acts now, 16 and verse 3. Him, that's Timothy, would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. I asked the fathers on this call, what do people know about you as a father? Think about that. What do people know about you in your community, in your family, in your relationships? What kind of father are you? What would be wrote about you? What kind of father were you? Were you out there, you know, just chasing women, and everywhere you laid your hat was your home? You have babies throwed all over the place, and you don't take care of them. What kind of father are you? Would that a woman would have to go and file child support to make you pay for your be responsible as a father? What kind of father? I'm trying to reach those, because you know when you can get to a point where you can change. You don't have to be this type of father the rest of your life. You can make change today and start being the father you should have been. And God will forgive you for all your past. You don't have to keep living like that. I know one of the things I often am so proud of, my daughter, that before Sharon and I got married, I had a child, and she didn't live with me, my oldest daughter, but she came to live with me. And one day, she was acting up, came in after midnight. I busted her door down. She came into my bedroom. I came into her bedroom. That's where her eyes went wide open. She jumped up in the bed and looked straight at me. And I told her, what did I tell you about coming in here after 12? And, you know, the impact I didn't know until years later. On a Father's Day, she gave me a plaque. It was called the Best Dad Plaque. Not because I was a good dad before. But she said, the night you walked in and bust my door open, she said, that's the night I realized you were my daddy. It wasn't when I was not taking care of her. It wasn't when I didn't do anything. It was when I made the change in my life, become a Christian, and I took care of my child. And I will just say that as an encouragement to all fathers on this call. And some of you probably are not taking care of your children. I know that. And it's a shame if a woman would have to file child support to get you to pay for your children. And you need to repent, brother. You need to repent and go taking care of them children. So we don't know nothing about Timothy's father. Paul went ahead and circumcised Timothy as a matter of expedience, not a matter of law. And I talked about that circumcision last week, and you can go back to that lesson and learn about it. But, you know, here's another thing I want to talk about to the young men on the call. And when I say young men, I'm talking about young teenagers and young adults on the call this morning, you men. Find you a Paul. You need a mentor, someone to teach you, help you, run with you, and you can hang out with them. And to the men on the call, are you one of those men that young people can look up to? Could you be a Paul in the life of a Timothy? Is your life in such a way that they will respect you as a man of God? Not as somebody perfect, but somebody that can mentor them and teach them and share with them and be there for them. I would like to think that's one of my passions. I don't want to say like to think that has been one of my passions is to see young men change their lives and become preachers. That's something I wanted to do, become great men of God and just live faithful and try their best to make heaven their home and take others with them. So thankful for men like Brother Thomas Foster, whom I've asked prayer for this morning, who's now on hospice in his home. And I ask you all to pray for him. He was my mentor. He was a man that I looked up to. I heard preach that cross. And I wanted to be like Brother Foster. He would always come to the pulpit and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And that ringed in my ear. And I heard him talk about how he was an engineer and gave it up to preach the gospel. That man impacted my life on March the 31st, 1985. When I heard him preach, it was at the cross, my first sort of life. When he preached, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross?" Sometimes causes me to tremble. And I heard him that day. And I was in a dark place, lost. A brother that got killed in a car wreck. And I had nowhere to turn. But it was the words from the mouth of Thomas Foster. They ring in my ears. And up from the pew I rose and walked down that long journey down that aisle to the front of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Brother John, Brother Tillman, when the elders at Fifth Ward said, "Another precious soul come to put Christ on in baptism." And that precious soul was me. Now, I'll never forget that day. Men like Thomas Foster changed my life and gave me someone to look to. I wanted to be a preacher. I wanted to be a man that would impact the lives of people like he did mine. It was not him. It was the words from his mouth and what he was teaching. I know that. But that's a significant individual in my life. And I hope every man on this call would want someone to speak of you as I'm speaking of him this morning as he lay in hospice. Another man named Bob Adams. Brother Bob Adams was the elder at Fifth Ward who took me under his wing as a new convert and for 2 years taught me the basics as Michael Foreman is doing with all the new converts on this call. You need to be in that new convert class with Brother Michael Foreman there every Wednesday when he's teaching you, because that's your foundation. But Bessel Smith and Bob Adams are men who influenced me and taught me my basic beliefs. It didn't come from my daddy. Not because my daddy didn't love him, but because my daddy had to learn himself. And I'm thankful he learned later in his life and became a great example for me. I'm just saying men can change. People can make a difference in your life, and I'm encouraging you all this morning to be a mentor, a teacher, to help someone, as these men done with me. That's my personal experience. Brothers, what young man can say you made a faith difference in his life? Who going to talk about you? What are they going to say? What young man can say you made a difference in his life? Young man came to me right here at Holland Heights and had been listening to me a year. Took a whole year. And when he came down, he shared with me who he'd been listening to me. And what I was teaching had made a difference in his life. That's why he decided to make it. And he's faithful today. If one soul is precious in heaven, the angels rejoice over one. Why wouldn't we as men, I'm talking to all the men on this call, all you brothers who are not doing anything to help young people, young men become men of God and to live in a way where you can impact their life. And living in a way doesn't mean you're perfect. That doesn't mean that. It means that you're making an effort to be the kind of example that they could follow as young men. And we'll keep them out of prison. We'll keep them off the drugs. We'll keep them from going to the grave early. If we can be men that God would want us to be. So you answer the question, bro. What kind of father are you? What kind of mentor are you? Who are you impacting? What about your children? What about your grandboys? Your sons and grandsons, what are they going to grow up to be? What are they going to see? What do they see? To the brothers and the members of the church, are you a Paul? Can you be the Paul who will have a son in the gospel like Timothy? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, "For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." That wasn't biological. He adopted him as a son in the gospel. My beloved son and faithful in the Lord. My prayers, I got many sons out there. It's my prayer. Beloved sons who are faithful in the Lord, who shall bring into you remembrance of my ways. Paul said, they're going to tell you what I was like. That you can be a man that can affect young men, and those young men will be telling, just like I did about Tom Foster and Bob Adams and Bensel Smith. What are they going to say? Paul said here, he remembers of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So it's a message this morning. My message is to men who need to be mentors like Paul and to the Timothys on the call, to the young brothers who need to be taught how to lead and taught what it is to be a leader in the Lord's church. You don't have to be a preacher to be a leader. You don't have to be an elder to be a leader. Brother, you can be a leader just by being a faithful brother in the church. Song leaders are leaders. That's what we call them, leaders. Song leaders, being around the table when they do communion, they're leaders. Ushers are leaders. People who help at the door are leaders. Their janitors are leaders. Anybody doing the work of the Lord can be a leader. It's not just Brother Brooks. It's any of us. We thank God for being like Brother Horace Stiles, was a great man of God, in my opinion. Great mentor. A great friend. And I encourage young men to grab men like him that can teach you the Word of God and teach you the things you need to know to be more spiritual. It's going to take parents, you all. Parents and leaders, to teach people the way of righteousness. You can teach them the way of righteousness, or you can be the parent or the leader that will mislead and teach everyone watching you the way of unrighteousness. Which will it be for you? What will be your legacy? What will people remember about you? What would they remember about you as a mother, sister? What would your grandchildren say about you as a grandmother? Did you share your faith? Did you teach your children? Did you just leave your children at home with grandmama that you never taught them? She had to raise your own children for you. I'm trying to reach the moms on the audience, the grandmothers and the fathers and grandfathers. and the young men and young ladies. This applies to you too. You find your sister that you can look up to. She could teach you the way of a righteous woman. That's why it's important for moms to raise their children, teach them as the Bible teaches you to do. Just like Lois and Grandma and Eunice. Teach your young ladies. The young ladies, find your sister that's living in the Lord. She can mentor you, teach you what it is to be a woman of God, in a way to live. And avoid those women who do not teach that one how to live. You teach by your lifestyle to the sisters of the call. What are the sisters going, young sisters going to say about you? Were you a troublemaker? Were you always negative? Did you ever have anything good to say about others? Did you teach them what it is to be modest, how to dress? Or were you one that put them down when they came into the Lord and started talking about how they ought to know better how to dress? Why do you just teach them in love? When one person, a young lady come in off the street, she don't know all that. She don't know how to live. She don't know how to dress necessarily. Maybe she may walk in not properly dressed, but there's a way to approach her and teach her. If you love her soul, you teach her in love. You speak the truth in love. You pull her aside and talk to her about it, how to dress and how to live as a godly woman in modesty. Yeah. I think I've touched on everybody, haven't I? I'm trying to. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's look at verse 4 in Acts 16. And they, as they went through the city, they delivered them decrees for to keep. There were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So they're taking the decrees and the information they need to know. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Paul's right here just to say the highlights. Here's how we stay established, solid, firm, stay strong. That's what that means. Is once we stay strong with the Word of God, and that we don't leave it, we don't allow anything to come into our worship service that are not scriptural, such as bass mic and beatboxing. And all the stuff we've seen going on in congregations today. Men. And we're not going to do that at Hollow Heights. We're not going to praise dance. We're not going to be clapping and waving our hands and standing up. What we're going to be doing is what they did in the scriptures. It's the way the church worshiped in the Bible. You say, why are we so strict, Brother Brooke? Well, you call it strict. I call it being scriptural. When you're scriptural, you're established in the faith. You're firm. And that's what I want to be known as a preacher. Firm. Established. Strong. Why? God gives increase. God will give increase when we stay with his book. And this is what we need to remember, Holly Heights. Is that just because everybody else is doing it, don't mean we're going to do it. Why? The church is established in the faith in our congregation. That's what we need to be known as, established in the faith. And numbers are increasing. In verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of, I think I mispronounced that bad, but the region of Galatia, were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost, see that? They were come to Mysia. They attempted to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Notice this. Very important to know that the Holy Spirit is guiding where Paul and them go preach. They thought they needed to go another direction. So which tells me that when God wants someone to hear his truth and know that people are ready to hear it, that they will get to hear it. Because God is in control of who hears. And he only seeks certain groups. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So here's the Apostle Paul then, going to a place they don't even know why the Holy Spirit is forbidding them preaching in other areas. But there's a man in Macedonia that they don't know about. That's what's going on here. One man in Macedonia. The Holy Spirit got the Holy Spirit's attention. And he changed the course of Paul and him, because Paul and him can't see minds. I talked about this last week. They can't see the heart of people. But God sees everything. And God knows if there's a man in Macedonia that I need y'all to go to. There was a man in the desert. He was a eunuch. Philip didn't know why he was headed to the desert in Acts 8. But God knew. There was a bunch of people in Jerusalem where that man had been. But God sent Philip to the desert. And one man was in that desert. And there's one man in Macedonia who needs help. It may be one person on this call this morning. Just like the man in Macedonia. You're not on this call by accident, my friend. If you've been looking for truth, you're hearing it and you're enjoying it. Finally, somebody's saying what you believe. Some people say, well, you're going to offend them, Brother Brooks. Now, you don't offend people who want to know truth. You offend those who don't agree with truth. When a man in Macedonia wants truth, they're going to hear it and they're going to receive it. And they're not going to reject it. I'm going to prove that here in a minute. Are you that person this morning? You didn't know about the one church. You didn't know. You thought Easter was in the eggs. Had something to do with Jesus. You didn't know. You didn't know about Easter. Who taught you? Well, where did you get your belief from? You didn't know that chicken and eggs had nothing to do with Jesus' resurrection. Did Brother Brooks teach you that? Are you hearing for the first time something you had never heard before? You didn't know about the one church in the Bible? You didn't know it was the Church of Christ? You mean to tell me there's only one church? Yeah, that's what we're telling you. You mean to tell me we should be taking the Lord's Supper and not just remembering Jesus on Easter once a year? Yeah, I'm telling you that. I told you that. I know you're not offended now because you enjoying to finally hear the truth. You may have went to Wikipedia already because I suggested it. But I would suggest you stay with the book. Stay with what I'm teaching you from the Bible. And you'll learn. I need to drop something else here. Somebody on the call may be fretting over your decision. You know, you wherever you are, whether it's in Houston or wherever you are in my listening audience. And you say, man, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't want to be in this place. I hate Houston. I hate wherever I'm at. I don't like it. Ain't nothing here for me. All that kind of talk. Maybe you don't understand who's in full control of life. Do you know God will providentially help us when we're seeking him? I mean, if you're on the call, you wish you had never came to Houston because you just hate what's going on. But here's where you were baptized. Here's where you heard the truth. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the fact that where you reside is where God gave you the opportunity to hear the truth for the first time in your life, and now you're complaining about where you are when you should be thankful that you were here and you got to hear it? So maybe you're on the call this morning and you have nothing to be thankful for, man, now all of a sudden, you're hearing something that's important to you, that's going to save your soul, and you, no matter where you are, you got to hear it. We got to remember who's in control. The Holy Spirit guided Paul to go down to that man in Macedonia. And you are being saved wherever you are. God bless you tremendously. And you're hating the very place that the Spirit of God led you to. Listen carefully. We must learn to be thankful, content, and stop complaining about where we are. And find the good in where you are. It's easy to complain. But it's not spiritual. It's negative. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. One of my favorite scripture. And I wanted to be like Brother Foster. I wanted to say, bless the Lord of my soul. But he told us in preaching school, he said, son, you can't beat me being me. And I can't beat you being you. So I found my favorite. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. A lot of people know because of that. But it's because I wanted to be like Brother Foster. But he taught me that I can be better being like me. Just be me. And that's what I teach the preachers in class. Just be. You can't beat Brother Brooks. Me and Brother Brooks, I'm gonna beat you at that one. I can't beat you being you either. Something all of us can learn. But Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You don't have to waste your whole life worrying about where you are if you learn to rejoice no matter where you are. Learn to be thankful. Give God your mind and heart. God will give you peace that's past understanding. In verse 11, Paul says in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. See that? That's spiritual minded people right there. I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. And he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God expects us to learn to be content and accept where you are at this present moment is God's will. Have you done that? Our faith and dependency must be on Christ and not on ourselves to guide and direct our steps. Decide where or what is best for us. When you give your life to Christ, Paul said, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Book of James, James said it like this. James 4:13. Go now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, planning for yourself. Whereas he said, you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But you ought to say, there is what you ought to say. If it the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. Are you thinking like this? Are you thinking like this? Have you lost focus on what God's will is for your life? You need help. Here it is. The right place. At the right time. Is it because, are you on this call? You think maybe because you kind of been looking for some truth? Are you like the man in Macedonia? You need help. His will, God's will for the present moment for you to be on this call is giving you an opportunity to hear truth. But you're allowed to reject truth. That's your choice. God's not going to make you receive it or reject it. You know, I never dreamed I would be a preacher at the Holland Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas. I never knew that was coming. I came through here, and Brother Harper was the minister, and I came and preached a couple of times and brought my whole family in a van load. Came down, first time I ever preached here at this congregation. But I didn't know at the time God was showing me where I was going to be landing it after I left Arkansas. God can do some things in your life. If you look back, you can see when God was moving in your life. And I'm thankful that he blessed me to be the minister of the Hollow Heights Church of Christ. Now, I pray that the church is blessed, the members of the congregation feel blessed by having me. That's my prayer, that I've helped somebody through my ministry. The question is, did you come for help, though? That's what this lesson is kind of about. The man in Macedonia needed help. People are going to go to a church. They're going to find, when they're seeking truth, you're going to find the Church of Christ when you're seeking truth. And look at verse, let's go back to Acts now. You will see what I mean here. In verse 8, they passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. See that? And prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia, help us. See, he appealing for help. Paul, the preacher, is traveling to places. The Spirit had led him over here. He didn't know about this man. But the Spirit knew this man needed help. And so the Spirit guided the preacher to him. The preacher being the Apostle Paul. God responds to people who are seeking truth. And this is something, a hard lesson for some of us to remember. We want everybody to be saved. Truth, that's true. But no one will be saved until they want to be saved. And so we don't have to push the Bible down their throat. We don't have to say, well, I'll push my belief on. You don't have to do that. When a person want to be saved and they start seeking God, they will find the truth. And not until. And when they are ready for truth, God will send them to the place. And like maybe this morning, somebody's on this phone that have been looking for truth. And I'm telling you right now, if you are that person, God is moving in your life. Not because you prayed to him, but because he see you are seeking true worship. Jesus said it in John 4:23, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, here comes the strongest word in English language, I think, must. No options. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Right attitude based on truth here, with the truth that comes from the scripture. When your heart is right and you really want the truth, I'm going to tell you all, nobody who believes the Bible, they really want the truth and believe it's all truth, will question church, the church. They won't question one church. They won't question baptism. They won't question taking the Lord's Supper. They won't question the word of God, because that person knows it's a must that they worship in spirit and truth. They won't be in a building where there's instrumental music. They won't be following doctrines, commandments of men. They won't be in a denominational church, because the Bible teaches against all that. They won't be Baptist. They won't be Catholic. They won't be Methodist. They won't be Episcopal, because they're not in this book. You couldn't be nothing but Christian in this book. And Christians are only in one church, that is the Church of Christ, Acts 20, verse 7. They took the Lord's Supper. Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who going to put them in the church, the Lord? Why? Because they, like the man in Macedonia. You get the message this morning, don't you? The man in Macedonia, God responded to his thoughts, as I talked about last week. Listen to this. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. He saw a vision. Surely gathering the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Paul is guided by the Holy Spirit now. Paul saw a vision. Now, I'm not going to see a vision about you because that's done and over. That's when they didn't have no Bible. You got a Bible. You got to read. When you start reading, you believe in the Bible, the Word of God, God's not going to send me a vision. There's one person on the call this morning, like some blind preacher's doing. God came and told me you were on the call. I can tell you that lie too, but he ain't told me nothing about you. This is about you and God. This is just you. You need to be thinking about what God is saying to you, why you're on the call. Brother Brooks don't know nothing about you. I ain't going to lie to tell you that. So nobody's going to have the vision Paul had. However, the providential, in other words, God is providing, that big word providential, God will provide for those who are seeking truth. So you will accidentally stumble into it. Paul, the preacher, moved immediately, knowing with assurance that the way to help those people in Macedonia was to preach the gospel unto them. Do you need help this morning? Are you a man of Macedonia? Why are you on this call? Are you a member of the Church of Christ? You have left true worship. You're in the congregations I'm talking about, doing all that stuff. Have left the truth, departed from the faith. You need to come home. Maybe that's why you're on the call. You need to get out of those congregations. I'm not suggesting you come where we are. Find your sound congregation according to the scripture. That's doing it the way the scriptures are. It's not my appeal to get members. I'm trying to save souls. This is what this is about for us. The best thing I can do as a preacher is be honest with you and tell you the truth. Find you a place to serve. You're on a call this morning, you're not serving anywhere. You need to be in a congregation serving. It's good that you join our call. That's great. We appreciate you being on. I'm glad you're on. Hopefully I'm helping you. But at some point past this pandemic, you need to be in a congregation serving with the Lord's people. The assembly is important. And every one of us is a member of the Church of Christ. We're members of the body, and all of us got a different role. We work together for the cause of Christ. If you're out there independent on your own, doing what you want to do, then that's not according to the scripture. Christians work together. They was in unity. They worked as one in Christ. Find your congregation to serve it and serve. Help. Help is needed in this world. Go preach somewhere. Find your place to preach. Find your opportunity to teach. That's what we should be doing. As Christians, watch what happened in Macedonia. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course of Samothrace. Man, this is a bad word, hard word to pronounce. Next day in Neapolis. That's why I always enjoyed having a reader so they could mess up these words. Look at this. Y'all thought about this? Think about this with me. This whole thing called the pandemic we talk about. You think, have you ever thought about what God is doing with the pandemic? Do you know it may be that God allowed this pandemic so his gospel could reach some only through a conference call? You ever thought about that? There are people who never came to our building. They would have never came to the Church of Christ, like located 1005 West Little York, East Texas. They would have never came. You ever thought about the nationwide gospel meeting that we've held for over a year now, going on a year now? That God has used your minister, Brother Brooks, and our family highlights to get outside those walls of 1005 West Little York. And we reached thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that we were never reached. You think that's an accident? Do you believe that this whole virus thing called COVID-19 was something man done, and man did this, and man had that kind of power to send it all over the world? And you think that possibly, I'm just going to say possible for you, not for me, that God allowed this virus to shut y'all down, to shut down us down from sinful behaviors and activities such as partying and clubs, and shut down Las Vegas, gambling, shut down praise teams and praise dancing and buildings, shut down bars. He shut down all kind of things. And there are people who are on our call that would have never came to our church building or nobody else's. But they've had an opportunity to hear the truth. And do you thought, have you ever thought about the fact that we got 600 to 800 people listening to us on Sunday morning now, based on the number of lines that are called in? We can average that. That our contribution is solid and still up, and many people are listening. And some of our brothers and sisters who we didn't know were still faithful, Lord, have been on the conference call every Sunday morning. Do you all believe that the pandemic will be the greatest restoration? Do you all believe that when we come back to the building, there'll be more people coming back because they've been exposed to the Word of God for a whole year, and they ain't gonna feel right by standing home and not hearing it anymore? Do you think it's possible that some will come home? Will it be you? I'm talking about the one that wasn't coming to the building, but you're on the conference every week now. Will you come home? Will you come back? Did God use the pandemic to save your soul? Do you think that the COVID-19 may have been the greatest thing that ever happened to you? All things work together for good. Did you get on a ventilator and now you realize life could be short? Have you watched all the people who are dying? Have you thought about if you got it, you could die? Did you isolate in your home and put on a mask and wash your hands and put the stuff to keep from dying? Is that what we were doing? Is that why I didn't want anybody to be around a bunch of people? Yes, because the COVID was killing people. How about you? Was that what you were doing? Did God save us? Did he save souls? Did many people obey the gospel during this pandemic? How many of us are complaining about it rather than saying, man, God done reached a whole lot of people? That's my thought. I'm reaching more people listening to me this morning than I ever have on a Sunday morning at the building. And some of them are going to come home. I'm committed. Some people are going to get baptized. We know people have been baptized listening to us on the phone. The phone has become the conduit into the homes of people who are now listening because they were like the man in Macedonia. And God sent them help, but he used COVID, the coronavirus. At this. And from this, let's go back to Acts 16. I'm closing. From this to Philippi, which is the chief city of the port of Macedonia and a colony, we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. She's listening. This is woman. Listen to this woman, Lydia, as I close. Down in Macedonia is where they are at. Lydia is there. She is already religious. She's already a worshiper of God. She heard the message the preacher named Paul preached. Now her heart was open to the message. She believes she's already saved. She believes she's already a true worshiper. See, that's how many people today in these denomination churches, they believe they're saved. They are religious. They're good people. They believe they're worshiping God according to truth. But until they need help, like the man in Macedonia, there's a Lydia down there who need to know and understand the truth. See, what happened here is the Lord opened Lydia's heart. What does that mean, Brother Brooks? That don't mean he gonna come in there and open it up and say, okay, now receive me. Don't reject me no more. That's not what he's doing. And Jesus said in Luke 24:45, the Bible says he opened their understanding, that they may understand the scripture. So when you hear truth, when God opens your heart, that just means he opens it up for you to understand what Brother Brooks just taught you from his word. He gives you the choice to reject it or receive it. That's your choice. Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejected me and received not my word had the one that judged him. The words that I spoke the same with judging in the last day. So God's not going to open your heart to receive or to reject him. You got to do that. But when you start receiving the Lord, it's able to save your soul. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness and graft the word, watch it now, which is able to save your soul. When you want your soul saved, God will open your heart, meaning that he will allow you to understand what I'm teaching you. And that you lost, you need to be baptized, you need to be in the one church, or you lost because you have left the truth. One of those two. If you don't understand, if you don't receive that, you say, well, I just don't believe it, but I believe it don't matter how. Well, then you're not the one God is opening your heart. He hasn't opened your heart yet. Well, because you rejected him. You don't want the truth. And he's not responding to you. Now, who on the call this morning is a man from Macedonia? Is your heart, you understanding what I'm teaching you? Look at what happened to this woman after she heard the gospel preached. And when she was baptized, she was already religious, Brother Brooks. She was already a worshiper. When she was what? You mean to tell me she had to be baptized? Yeah. Just because you're religious, just because you think you're saved, don't mean you're saved. Just because you've been baptized like I was when I was 11 years old, not because I believed, not because I understood any scripture, because that's what mom and them told us to do. I just remember going to Man Wynn's pond there at Hempel, getting baptized, scared of the snakes. I remember that part. But I don't remember nothing about why I was baptized, for the remission of my sins. I didn't know nothing about what the scriptures did because I wasn't taught that. I was baptized again, as I told you, when I heard Brother Foster. At that point in my life, I was old enough to seek the truth for myself, and I understood what I heard, and God opened my heart to receive it. He opened my heart to understand, and I received it. That's what happened. I understood, and I received. Do you will you understand and receive this morning? Because if you've been baptized before, in Acts 19, I can show you there, in Acts 19, just because you've been baptized before, that don't mean you're saved. Acts 19, verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass that while Paul was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. These people were followers of Christ, but watch what happened. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether it be an Holy Ghost. That's like this morning. You didn't know about Easter. You didn't know about the one church. You didn't know you should take communion every Sunday. You thought you were saved. These people did too. And he said unto them, then what were you baptized? I mean, they hadn't been baptized before. See that? They said, we got baptized based on what John taught. That's John's baptism. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Notice in verse 5, when they heard this, when they heard what Paul taught them, they had a better understanding. They were baptized. That's baptism number 2. There's proof right there that you can not have a true understanding of what baptism is for, and you were not saved on that first baptism you had, and you need to be baptized again. You need to be baptized for the first time, right? And that's based on having an open heart by God to understand, because you are seeking truth. You're the man in Macedonia. You're the man in Macedonia. You're the man in Macedonia. And there's a Lydia in Macedonia. There's Lydia down there. And you're Lydia, close to Macedonia somewhere. They're close enough to hear Brother Brooks preaching. Is there a young lady on the call? A young man? Is there a mama, a daddy? Is there a father or a husband? Is there a mother or a wife? Is there anybody on the call with a troubled heart trying to find your way in life? Do you need help? Or are you on the call this morning because God, all you need help in your heart. He know you're ready to make the change you need to make. And that's why you get to hear Brother Brooks this morning. Is that why you're on the call? You ever thought about that? Boy, it's one thing when you're seeking God, but it's a whole other day. It's like God had his back turned on you. And then the day he turned, he faces you. Visualize this with me. God had his back to you. And now you're in a place in your mind where you really want to get it right with God. Maybe on your deathbed. Maybe you've got some bad news on your health. Maybe you're just in a dark place in your life. I don't know why. But your heart is open now. You can understand now. You're ready to seek now. You've been seeking truth. Now God has turned. Visualize this. He has back to you. He turned. He's looking you straight in your eye. He said, I see. I can see from your thoughts you're ready. And that's why you're here in Brooks this morning. Remember he sent Paul to Macedonia? Am I the one that you needed to hear? Now, will you look him in the eye and say, I hear you, Lord. Here am I. Send me. I come to be saved. Are you that person? Are you the man in Macedonia? Because you are, I got good news. It was on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, the kindest man that ever lived. The sweetest man that ever lived. The most loving man that ever lived. Hung between two thieves. With nails in his hands and his feet. And he hung there for you. He hung there for me. He was at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my soul were rolled away. The good news is God so loved you that he gave his son. God's son so loved you that he said greater love than no man in this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. I'm talking to the man in Macedonia, the lady on the call, that hear the old story of how a Savior came from glory. I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. That can leave with a new song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You hear that gospel. You believe with all of your heart that Jesus hung on that cross and suffered for you, shed his blood, and washed your sins away in baptism, Revelation 1 and 5. And they took him down off the cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb. And early on a Sunday morning, he rose with all power in his hands, Matthew 28, 18, go teach all nations. He gave the preachers command, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16, 15 and 16, the good news. And Jesus said, after he resurrected, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in us baptized shall be saved. You believe that this morning. Be willing to repent of your sins. Say, Lord, I don't want to go backwards in lies. I'm looking you right in your eye, God. You've turned to me and now I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you down on my bending knees, begging you to save this soul of mine. Please forgive me, Lord. Try me one more time. Believe in him. Repent. Luke 13, 3, Jesus said, I tell your name, but except you repent, except you make change, you will perish. And the fourth step is believing so much that you will be willing to make a confession, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, if you confess me before me, and I confess you before my Father, Matthew 10, 32. And after that, you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins, commanded by Jesus. Preached about by Peter for remission of sins, Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21. Peter says it saves. Paul said, Ananias told Paul, Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And the Lord would add you to the body of Christ. the church of Christ, the only church you read about in the Bible, Acts 2:47. Romans 16:16, salute one another, holy kiss, the churches of Christ. Salute you. Who are you talking to this morning, Brother Brooks? I'm talking to the man in Macedonia. Talking to the Lydian sitting by the wayside. Their heart been opened. She thought she was saved. And God sent Paul to her. Did I reach any of y'all? I hope so. That's my prayer. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, you need to come home. You need to repent of your sin. You know, confess your fault. We're getting ready to have a song of encouragement. My brother MC, have a song of encouragement. Go ahead and hit 5-star on your phone. If you need to make a confession, a prayer request, if you want to be baptized, you want us to acknowledge you as a visitor, you want to tell us you're on the call, you want to say you that person from Macedonia, or you want to say you are that mother, that father, that son, a daughter, grandmother, grandfather, if you want to be baptized, you want to be a member of the church, you've been seeking truth, go ahead and hit 5-star. Don't be ashamed to give us your name and tell us who you are. If you're on the call this morning, you've been seeking, you need more information, you can call Brother Brooks directly. You can go to our website, hear all of my sermons there. If you want to go to hollaheightcoc.net, go ahead and go there. Get in touch with us. Let us know how we can help you. But you're not going to need help unless you're like the man in Macedonia or you're like Lydia. Will God open your heart to understand what you've been looking for?